extending us the right hand of fellowship and blessing us, enabling us once more and again to assemble at this particular time. I want to thank the Northwest congregation, Brother Branch, for the invite, and thank them for, of course, hosting. I'd like to thank the Alabama State Lectureship for the great continuous work that they're doing. I'd like to thank all of those who have gone before me, and we're certainly prayerful for those who are to follow. I have been given Hebrews chapter number 4, verses 1 and 2. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The subject given to me is the gospel preached, but not mixed with faith. There are four attempts that I'm going to try to accomplish with this subject. First of all, I would like to give the history. Secondly, I would like to give the intro. Thirdly, if I was Apollos or Peter Moss, I would exegete the verses. But since I'm not, I'm going to just try to break them down. And then finally, I'm going to address the subject, the gospel preach, but not mix with faith. First of all, the history. The history is centered around God's promises. God made a holy promise, or a covenant, if you will. And he made it with Abraham. And in this covenant, God promises to bless Abraham, to make Abraham descendants a great nation, and to bless all the world through him. God also promised to be with his people and to give them rest. Although the people often fail to live up to their side of the covenant, God always kept his. Yes, ain't God a good God? Yes, through Abraham came the nation of Israel and eventually Christ. In addition, God brought his people to the promised land. And eventually, he will bring them to their eternal rest. Now, God has a new covenant with his people, which he has written in their minds and on their heart. All right. In Hebrews 8 and 10, the Bible says, "For this the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write in them in their hearts. And I will be unto them a God, and they shall be to me a people." The importance of this today is that God's new covenant, secured through his Son, is available to all who place their trust in Jesus Christ. In addition, the new covenant offers total forgiveness and eternal life. Believers can have hope in the future because of what Jesus Christ has done for them. Regardless to your circumstance and regardless to your difficulties, you have hope in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you have trusted in him for salvation, the covenant promise applies to you. And then when we look at the intro, people have always attempted to earn their way into heaven. Some have been zealous in religious effort of all kinds to earn approval from their gods. Others have thought that they could comprehend the ultimate reality through their own philosophy. And in our day, many people piece together a religious faith with parts of a variety of religious viewpoints. Well, these verses that I will be dealing with, states that only those who believe in the word of God will enter into God's rest and receive his approval. Remember, the word of God is sharp. It's living. It's active. Cutting through all human endeavors. Laying everything bare before the eyes of God Almighty himself. Well, in verse number one, brothers and sisters, we find that the scripture said, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. The word therefore is there for a reason. In this particular setting, it ties this verse to the preceding verses. The end of chapter number 3 explains that the Israelites who rebelled against God never entered into his rest. All right. Hebrews 3:18 and 19. Yeah. Bible says, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into rest, but to them that believe not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Having shown that Jesus is superior to the great leader Moses, the author turned to another great Israelite leader by the name of Joshua. God's servant Joshua led Israel into the promised land, yet he did not provide God's true rest. Hebrews 4 and 8 says, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day? Yes, one greater than Joshua accomplished that feat. In this chapter, brothers and sisters, the word rest is used in 3 different ways. First of all, it talks about the rest Israel had been promised in the land of Canaan. Secondly, it talks about God's wrath after creating the world according to Hebrews 4 and verse number 4. And then thirdly, we find the rest experienced by Christians here now and as well as in the future. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, beginning at verse number 9, it describes the rest that the Israel had been promised in the land of Canaan. It describes the land itself. It describes the security and the protection they got because they were God's people. It describes the rest from fighting, their rest away from fighting, meaning that they now had peace or lack of chaos. And then finally, it describes God's presence through the tabernacle. Well, preacher, what are you saying? I now understand what the Apostle Paul meant when he said in Romans 15 and verse number 4, those things that are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. Somebody ought to be glad that we're able to look back to see how God dealt with his people then. And because of the way that God dealt with them then, that same God deal with us today. Yeah, God was good to them in that he provided them with a land that flowed with milk and honey. Yeah, God was good to them in that he provided them protection and security. Ain't it good to know that we got a God that's better than ADT? Ain't it good to know that God is with us no matter where we go? When you're on your job, God is with you. When you're on the playground, God is with you. When you're in the church house, God is with you. Yes, we save ourselves a mighty good God. Yeah, it is God. His God was present with them in the tabernacle. Yeah, children of God, you ought to realize that when you come in the house of God, that you're coming in the presence of God, and that God is the object of our worship. That's why it's a shame before God Almighty for God's children to be playing on their cell phone, for God's children to be focused on anything but God Almighty himself. While the next generation of Israelites did not enter and possess the land, this was still only a shadow of the final rest, which was to come. The Jewish people refused God's plan and rejected their Savior. Thus, the promise of entering his rest still stands. God had made this rest available for us Christians today. Since God had barred the rebellious Israelites from the promised land, the promise stands for those who remain obedient to him.
All right.
The promise has not been fulfilled, but neither has it been revoked.
Well,
right. Amen, somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, for those who have come to trust in Jesus, he gives them rest. They find rest from trying to fulfill all the requirements of the law.
Thank you, Lord.
The Bible says in Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28. It says, come unto me all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Unshackled from this yoke. And they can experience salvation and God's rest today. Yes, this rest will be fully culminated in heaven. While Christians presently enjoy rest with God, at the same time we look forward to that day when our final rest will be with him face to face in fellowship with our Father.
Yes, sir.
Christians are promised the full extent of God's rest. Christians are promised to be with him in heaven. We are promised security and protection because we too are God's people. We are promised relief from our earthly struggles as well as from sin. We are promised the perfect presence of God in our lives through his Spirit, and then eventually with him in face to face. You miss your shout then. I say we are promised to be with him in heaven to walk on them golden streets. We are promised security and protection because we are born again children of God. We are promised relief from these struggles that we have down here on earth. Some of us are having a hard time, but one day you're not going to have to worry about any of these things. Yeah, our children act like they didn't lose the left side of their mind. But one day, you're not going to have to worry about them. On the job, our supervisor have a slave driver's mentality. But one day, you're not going to have to worry about that. Many of us, our money is funny. Our change is strange. But one day, you're not going to have to worry about that. One day, we'll not only be with him in spirit, but we'll be with him face to face. Christians must learn from the tragic mistake. Tragic mistake that the Israelites made. Hebrew writer warned his readers of how serious it would be to turn from Christ by simply saying, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. This is not a mere encouragement, but it's a warning, my brothers and sisters. Just as God rejected the rebellious Israelites on the basis of unbelief, so will he reject those who turn away from Christ, refuse to believe him, or refuse to follow after him. Amen, somebody. In the church, we get caught up with measuring sin. We get caught up in saying one thing is worse than the other. Yeah, we say drunkenness is worse than lying. And we say fornication is worse of all things that one can do in the Lord's church. But I beg you the difference this morning. I stopped by to tell you that anything and the worst thing that anybody can do is reject our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For there is no salvation for you outside the body of Christ. Some of the Jewish Christians may have been on the verge of falling short of their promised rest in Christ. Just as many of their ancestors had fallen short of the true rest in the promised land. But in both cases, brothers and sisters, the difficulties of the present moment overshadowed the reality of God's promise. And the people doubted that God would fulfill his promises. For many today, the problem takes the form of complacency towards Christ's demands rather than doubt. Do not take Christ's word for granted or take lightly his promises. Those who do may end up falling short. Then verse 2, we find that the Hebrew writer said, for we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with faith. The Jewish believers to whom this letter was written were in danger of turning away from their faith, just as their ancestors had turned away from the promised land. The word gospel is the word logos, meaning God's word or message communicated from him or demonstrated in his acts of love. The Old Testament Jews received God's message in the great deliverance from Egypt and the covenant given to Moses at Mount Sinai. These New Testament believers receive God's message in the person of Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, and his resurrection. Jews from both eras had received communication from God. And but for many of the Old Testament Jews, the message that they heard was of no value to them. Why not, you may be asking? Because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Not only must God's message be heard, it must be combined with faith before it will ever become effective. Hearing must lead to believing. The clear-cut warning is not for us to make the same mistake. There is more to this than just hearing. The Israelites of Moses and Joshua day, they heard great messages from God, but they still did not respond in faith. Many people in our churches today reflect the very same problem. They have heard many messages. And they may have even read the Bible for themselves. But they have not responded in faith. People know a great deal about Christ. But they do not know him personally. Because they don't combine their hearing with faith. They are not real believers who take God at his word and obey him. Religion without obedience to God has no value. Hearing many sermons and not responding only makes one indifferent to the word of God. Believe in Christ and act on what you know.
Yes, sir.
As I say to timekeepers sometimes, here is the subject. The gospel preached, but not mixed with faith. What is faith? Hebrews 11 and 1 said, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. How important is faith? Hebrew writer said 11 in verse number 6. But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. How do we get this faith? Paul said in Romans 10 in verse number 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What is the final analogy of the gospel being preached but not mixed with faith? The final analogy is this: trust and obey, for there's no other way.
And I don't know if it's because of preachers preaching